Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And hello to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate.
Can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything? All right, we have to get the volume up a little bit for him. So I don't know which color he is, but you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We have Ryan manning the phones, and we're just having a little technical difficulty here right now, but we'll get it going. Our special guest today is Andy Provatola from Environmental Resources, and we've had him on our show before when we did our Saturday shows. So let's see. We sorry, everybody. Can we have a retake, Ryan? No, we can't do it. Oh, we're live? Okay, we're live. So here we go. We are trying to get that done. All right, everybody is all set. Sorry about that, people. So if you're on your ride home right now, don't worry about it. It's just we're...
It's been rain.
Okay, so. It's been a little crazy. It's been one of those weeks, though. We've been working really hard and... You know, everything's going on. So, as I said, we have Andy Provatola here from Environmental Resources. So, Ryan, thank you for that. I appreciate your help.
Yeah,
so,
we are
also, so Andy, this is your first time with you coming up with us at night.
During the night.
Yeah. So, we have sort of new listeners out there listening to us. So, we're going to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your company and who you are.
We're Environmental Resources, we specialize in indoor air quality. So we deal with different topics such as allergens, dust, mold, deal with flooding. We do more of the consulting aspect of things, so we don't do the, quote, remedial part of things or the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go in, we give people an objective viewpoint. Real estate, mold has become the hot button mm-hmm. issue.
That four-letter word.
Yeah, dirty four-letter word with the M. And and then, but I do get a lot of people now with the, you know, kids can't breathe, or they may have had a flood, and they thought they dried things out, or they're trying to save things that should have been tossed in the trash, and yet then the mold issues, you know, begin. In my 16th year, I can't believe it.
Wow.
And so we're, you know, we're moving forward, but basically we cover Gloucester to the Cape and Metro West, Boston, Greater Boston area, and just focus in there. We're a small company. We're not as big as Clean Harbors yet, but, you know, we'll see.
Maybe one day. One day. So one thing, Andy, is I don't know if you're familiar, but you hear that sound right there. Well, we have a very important person who sort of has to call in on the nines, I believe it is, but he wants to get everybody home safely and on time for dinner, so there's no place like home, so we have Mel. Malcolm to tell us about the traffic. How's it going, Malcolm?
Oh, thank you, Sharon. Good evening. It's going still a little slow coming down the expressway. This report is brought to you by Peapod. It's tied up from Mass Avenue down past Andrews Square, again, East Milton Square to the Braintree Split. On the northbound side, you've got delays from Braintree up to Neponset, again, approaching the O'Neill Tunnel. You're heading over to Fenway Park. Expect delays now. Route 3 will hang up a bit getting off the expressway by Washington Street. Route 128 is slow from the Mass Turnpike to Route 9. After that, you're in pretty good shape. Discover a better way to shop. Peapod by Stop & Shop delivers groceries right to your door. Right now, get $20 off your first order and free delivery for 60 days. Details at peapod.com. Traffic on the Nines every morning. I'm Malcolm Alter in the WATD Traffic Center.
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at talkrealestateradio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
And we're back, and I wish that this was the beginning because I feel a little more organized. Ryan, I promise I'll be on track next week. You're listening to Talk Real Estate. If you have any questions for us regarding real estate, and in particular, we're talking about mold remediation. We can get into that a little bit, even though Andy doesn't do that, but he knows the best of the best out there. But if you have, you know, specific questions regarding mold, how to find it, what to look for, those types of things, give us a call. We're live again tonight, 781-837-4900. Again, Ryan is here manning the phone, 781-837-4900. So this is a great opportunity to get in touch and speak with a professional like Andy. You are in again here. Listen, we want you to be able to get out of the building, but you are really so good at what you do. And like, you talk all mold talk, and I'm like, yeah, that's great. I'm into it.
And I already have a question. So if someone calls you to come out to their home because potentially they had some, you know, maybe there was, looked like some mold in a bathroom or somewhere, do you do an assessment of the whole house, just the area, or do you suggest that they have an assessment done of pretty much maybe even, you know, the attic, the basement, all of that?
Good question, Cindy.
I'm done.
So Cindy can leave now.
I'm done.
As far as usually, if it's a specific location like the basement or the attic, we just stay there unless there was, say, chronic roof leaks.
Okay.
Real estate is classic with, oh, we just put on a new roof, and but they didn't tell the people they had a leak for 10 years, which potentially could have gone in between the walls down to the second, to the first, even to the basement, you know, area. The ice dams was a huge issue back then. A lot of times in bathrooms, I find that it's more it's what they call settled spores, common moisture issues. Sometimes the simple solutions to that are get a good exhaust fan. People don't realize, but you need to keep the exhaust fan on 20 to 30 minutes after a shower, not dirt. You know, they just shut it off. But you want to eliminate a lot of the moisture areas, because where there's moisture, those are potential areas that would feed for mold growth.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that you need to. So, but let's go back to the ice dam thing for just a second.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, you had that, and we all know that that can cause damage within the wall. So if someone has you come over for that particular reason, you probably are going to be checking all the way down to the basement and, you know, other floors of the house, right? Just because of what could have happened. Because we were talking before the show, and you talked about a little bit about thermal stuff to me, and I kind of liked it.
Thermography is an excellent tool.
Oh, I like that.
It's number one, it's non-invasive, so we're not going in there ripping out, you know, all the walls. What happens with ice dams is that, and especially 2 years ago, it was a crazy year, busy. Adjusters were coming out with a tape measure and saying, oh, everything looks fine. And people were like, we smell odors. We can even feel the wall that it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go out there and thermal imaging, it's not a mold detector. So if somebody tells you that, it's that's false. It's more of picking up temperature differential. So there's air gaps. In other words, if the house is 70 degrees, and we're scanning the walls or the ceilings and we're seeing 60, 50 degrees, then there's something going on. There's an extreme temperature differential there. Normally, it would be the moisture. With ice dams, when the water gets in, it can get trapped behind the between the fiberglass, so the fiberglass is saturated with water.
Okay.
Hasn't penetrated to the surface of the wallboard yet. Regular wallboard, drywall, paper jute is like steak and lobster for mold. It just loves it, just like drop ceiling tiles. Woods, we would consider that even the EPA says it's semi-porous. So when you get in the woods, it takes a lot longer for mold to, you know, germinate. And if it's getting into the studs or the frame areas, it doesn't mean you need to rip out, you know, all the studs in the frames, because if they're in good shape and good condition, even after the dry out, the remedial process, they can clean and treat them and then put an anti-fungicide type of coating, which protects the wood, and it also protects mold from growing again before they do a build back.
So do you always, you don't always, depending on, I guess, the damage, you don't always have to take the walls down and put new walls up, dry walls or something like that, unless it's really maybe
correct.
Spongy?
Well, I mean, when you get into like a flooding situation, the key to preventing mold, number one, is if you have a flood, stop it between 24 to 48 hours. Get as dry as fast as possible as you can. People go on a vacation, they've had water in the basement for a week. They don't know because somebody's not watching their house. I've had people where pipes from the second floor bathroom have froze, went through the first level down to the basement, and the whole house was just, you know, full of mold and full of water damage.
And it happens that fast, the potential mold.
Yeah, how fast does it take
yeah,
to
like
start
if you're
growing,
gone for a week and say, you know, the first night you're gone, you've had water, like, you know, a foot of water in your basement for whatever reason, and you've got a finished basement for a week. I've been away for a week. So just let's go with the whole for, do I have mold when I come home already?
You can, yeah. Oh. After 48 hours, you can have beginning with mold. What the issue is, what happens is, for example, say people have some water damage, they didn't dry it out. Now we get into the hot and humid season. Mm. So it's not just water. People think they dried out, or they're trying to save things, or maybe that wall should have been cut 4 feet from the floor, and they didn't do that. They figured they can do, you know, they can basically try to save that. Well, then the humidity kicks in, and that starts to feed mold and settled spores to travel.
Which leads me to my next question. Can we talk colors of mold?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I could talk about, I love these topics. But sometimes I'm like, why is that pink, and why is that black, and why is that green? And really, and some of it's really fuzzy, and some of it's not. So
did
what
you have
causes,
to be concerned with all types and
I'm
all
sure.
colors?
Yeah, here's the number one. There's a lot of alarmists out there when it comes to mold remediation and removal, and they come in and, you know, scare the daylights out of people. People call in a panic. They want to rip out half their house. I do not recommend remedial companies for people who remove mold to do any testing. It's actually against industry standard. And part of the confusion is with lead and asbestos, you have to be federally and state licensed. With mold, there's certifications, but because of industry standard, some people still do it, and they're saying it's going to cost us $20,000. I go in there, and it's like, this isn't even a $5,000 job, you know, type of thing. But when it comes to mold to the house, it doesn't matter if it's red, pink, orange, yellow, black, grayish, greenish. People like to use the term, quote, black mold. Black mold, not all black mold is a mycotoxin. And what I mean by that,
I was just going to ask you, what do you mean by that?
Especially in attics, there's a common cladosporium mold, which we have from the outdoors. And the cladosporium mold is from the trees, from the grass. So when someone goes in, they say, I see all this black staining, looks like all black mold throughout my roof base.
Okay.
That's not uncommon in many attics. You know, as far as there's some mold there, it doesn't necessarily mean it's, quote, the black mold that people talk about is really a slimy grayish mold. It's called Stachybotrys. Stachybotrys, which people call the toxic mold, and the word toxic is kind of a misnomer because it's a mycotoxin within the fungi. So when Stachybotrys is growing, it's usually saturated in a lot of water, like a extensive flooding, a Katrina. You've had water in your basement, you know, for 2-3 weeks.
Right.
And as far as we as human beings or pets, we breathe. So it can affect us. But Stachybotrys is normally not a, quote, airborne species.
Okay.
Because it's a major water damage type of mold.
Okay.
So when people say, oh, it's this type of mold or that type of mold, to the house it doesn't matter because it's not saying we're allergenic mold. We're pathogenic mold. We're toxigenic mold. So, you know, come and you still have to treat the mold the same as whether it's allergenic or pathogenic or toxigenic.
But what, so the different colors and different like textures and kinds, like what can cause, because I just figure everything got wet and it's water, but why is it because of the surface that got wet?
It's the cellulose of the material.
That's what causes whatever type of mold it's
like
going
to. Like aspergillus and penicillin, more of a greenish, whitish type of mold. And the value of testing or sampling is at least we send it to microbiology and industrial hygiene labs. So when we sample, we send it to the lab. And it, sometimes there's 3, 4, 5, 6 species in, within a sample. So, you know, for someone to identify and say it's this specific type of mold, basically you can hold yourself liable to that because if it's not, and then people are alarmists and they're scaring people. And
So I have another question.
Go ahead.
I can't stand
That's
myself.
Okay.
So if I
don't know why,
because I haven't talked mold yet. I really love this topic.
Yeah,
so if I have a client that we have an inspection and the inspector is up in the attic and he says, you know, I want you to see this. And he points a flashlight and he said, it's mold. Now, and they'll suggest we get a mold remediator out there. Is that the right course of action?
Not necessarily, because what happens is the remedial companies come in and they want the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of course, they'll come out for free, but they're going to get an estimate for $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, or whatever the case might be. The value of an independent assessment, number one, is there's no conflict of interest, especially with real estate. We, you know, usually when a buyer or seller come out, if a remedial company's there, the seller's getting their remedial guy, the buyer's getting their remedial guy, and they both have completely different opinions and different pricing. So when we come out, it helps both the buyer and the seller, you know, when it's a real estate. When 16 years ago, we probably did less than 12 real estate jobs a year. Now it's 8 to 12 a month.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And what is the fee? Like, is it by the square foot? Like, how do you charge?
No, usually real estate, it depends if it's just a specific location versus if there's sampling involved or the whole house. But average assessments can run, you know, $400 to $600 or $700 with sampling with a scope of work. If it's just a straight consultation, they begin at $275, and it could be, you know, under four anyway, and that, you know, specific, if they say it's just this specific area here.
Okay.
If the home inspection report says it's just the attic, that's where we're staying. You know, it's we're not going through the whole house. We're not doing another assessment unless there's some red flags that where the water leakage came in and penetrated. And that happened before with the garage. I was doing some thermography. This was on the North Shore a couple of years ago, and it kept coming up with wet. And it went under the stairwell, then it went into this huge basement. And on the back of the basement, there was the all open-face insulation stapled to the wall, and it was soaked.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody picked it up. So I pulled the insulation back. All the exterior was wood rotted out because it was right under the deck where all the snow melted.
Oh.
But that was a trace, you know, with the, you know, do you always have to test? Not necessarily.
That was what I was going to ask too, is, you know, that black mold that's up on like the ceiling rafters when people go into the attic, and then you always hear the home inspector will say, yep, it looks like you could have what looks like mold. That's when they would just call you in, right? I mean, you can't really say that unless you test it, right?
Well, I would know it's mold, but I can't identify and say this is the type of mold.
Yeah.
Because you may have, again, you might have one species, you could have two or three.
So are there different types of testing that you use? Like, do you use...
Yeah.
So what are the different types of testing that you would use?
It's a good question. You know, for direct sampling in attics, you usually do, they call it a biotape, which is like, you know, scotch tape, or you do swabs. As far as air sampling,
But it isn't something that you're able to just, like, do, like, a swab and throw it in a chemical, and if it turns a certain color, you know right there. It's something that has to be sent out to a lab?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's some gimmickry that's out there and says this turns this color and it's going to be, you know, if it comes up positive.
Like the pregnancy test, right? The pregnancy stick.
I don't know. I've never been pregnant.
Well, if it was only
just
that
like
easy.
That.
Yeah, if it was just that easy. Look, it's mold.
There is there's some duct cleaning companies out there that are posing some of these gimmicks and they're swabbing and saying it's pink or purple. So you have to remediate all your duct vents, and it's $3,000 or $4,000.
I didn't even think of that. So mold and duct, how do you figure that out? Mold and duct work. Like with forced hot air, right? So that is that's a true possibility that someone could have. Yeah. So then if it's going through your whole heating or AC system, now you're blowing it through the house.
Right.
Well, how does that...
Well, what happens is that it depends, number one, where the HVAC system is. Sometimes people just use AC. I'm not a big fan of putting HVAC systems in attics. We do it. Everybody does it in New England. It's not a good building envelope design. It's never been designed. Your attic needs to have proper air movement.
Yeah.
I'm finding a lot of duct leakage in attics from AC because of humidity. It's creating a lot of mold issues.
Okay.
The filtration, HEPA filtration, the casings, sometimes I go in, there's no filter in the unit. Basements, extensive mold issues, everything's running through the heating and the AC.
Mm-hmm.
Bad filtration, no sealing of the vents, the connections, now the mold's coming through the vents.
Mm-hmm.
You can't breathe. So the other aspect of the sampling is what you call, we do air sampling. It's a filtered cassette. It's operated by a pump, so say we run one for 5 minutes, it's say 15 liters, so that would be 75 liters, but that's the actual air that we would be breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into a room and we're doing the sampling, as I say, my kids, you know, they just can't breathe. You know, they got some chronic issues with sinus issues, headaches, et cetera, but we just can't, we just moved here, we've been fine ever since we moved here, we've all been sick, type of thing.
Yep.
So the air sampling is part of the process. If someone just comes in and tests and leaves, they're not doing anybody a favor.
So
visual assessment is very important, and that's checking for moisture, checking for water issues, any history of water, flooding, roof leaks, ice dams.
Mm-hmm.
I did one this week full of ice dams from 2 years ago. The walls are dry. One was, retired. Never got the work done. There's some mold issues there. People are trying to paint over and bury things, which they got the insurance money, but they didn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because of that, now people are starting to, you know, experience some breathing difficulties or what have you. So, but the duct vents, you can do sampling in the vent, whether it's swabs, or we can do air sampling inside the vent, or what I like to do is do a sample in the room with the system off first, and then run the system for 5 or 10 minutes, and then do another sample, which is near the blower. So if it's coming out near the further sides, then it would indicate if there's some mold issues going on in the duct vents.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's in one or two of the vents, it's probably in most of them.
Yeah, so it's probably going through the whole thing. So then you would have
sleeping
to
sleep at your house.
Foreclosures. Foreclosures was huge with that.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that was a nightmare of 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the banks, you can't sell this house as is. It's a disaster.
Mold is very serious, right? I mean, do you have any statistics on that, or like what mold can do to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a carcinogen, certain species, and it can affect people, but a lot of people, you know, they get migraines, they get headaches, they get hives, they get skin rashes, eye irritation, watery eyes, coughing, respiratory, upper respiratory. But as far as the, there's different camps as far as scientifically how much mold is affecting people, but the longer water stands with the more potential for the feeding source, the fruitable sources that are there, the more potential for mold. And that's where some of the foreclosures were scary. Because what happened was the guys that were flipping the houses would gut it out, they wouldn't treat it. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you can still smell it because it was that extensive.
Yeah.
And then the banks or somebody saying we need to do some sampling or what have you, and like, well, who did the remedial?
Yeah.
And it was, of course, it was the contractor and no professional company.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that it's not regulated differently, sort of like lead paint, where you have to be sort of certified, you know, in different, you know what I mean, in order to do the remediation, that they don't have stricter guidelines on that with something so serious.
We're getting there. It's taken years. I helped out with a New Hampshire task force. I'm in a network, IAQA, a few years back, but now... In New Hampshire last year, they passed where the remedial companies can't, number one, do their own testing.
Yeah.
So that kind of separated things. And even home inspectors couldn't refer their remedial companies to people. So every state is different. There's only five states in the country that have a specific license, like Texas, Louisiana, Florida. You know, it's because different areas are different. It's hot and humid in Louisiana and Florida versus up here, though it's humid July and August here as it is down in Florida. So the regulations are getting there, but it's going to be a long time before that happens. The issue with training is that people need to be trained by qualified certifying bodies, not necessarily just someone that goes online, takes a two-hour class, and all of a sudden they're a, quote, mold expert.
That's nonsense.
You know, and it's not right. It's not fair. Insurance companies are cracking down, so they're helping to at least enforce. But there are some industry standards, IICRC, which is water damage, flood, carpeting. Then now they have what they call an S520 label, which is for mold remediation.
How does the average person know that if they're just, you know, granted we, you know, would contact you and you have a list of people, but the average person that just doesn't know, how do you know that you're not getting someone that's potentially qualified, or do you ask for certain credentials or what?
You should ask for, number one, how long they've been doing it. Number two, what type of certifications do you have?
Okay.
Because there are contractors that have been in business for 30 or 40 years. But all of a sudden, I call it the mold rush, like the gold rush, because, you know, they just see dollar signs. And to me, you need to be more concerned about people's health and not just saying, I'm going to make some money.
Right.
Because I've seen situations where someone's quoting $30,000 and the job is $10,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big chunk of change.
It's just awful to think that people go down, like that people are just so deceitful. Like it just, it really is. We've been talking more and more about it. We had a big office meeting today and we're just talking about the deceitful things that people will do. And again, I talk and, you know, to our listeners, anyone that we have across the table from us, Andy, we haven't had another mold expert across the table from me because I honestly trust what you do and what you say.
Right.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it does. And it means a lot to us that we know that when we refer you to our clients, that you're taking very good care of our clients.
Right.
But I mean, this stuff is really, really serious.
Yeah.
So we have to go to a break. We want to get your commercial in, right? So we're going to take a break real quick. Again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. We'd love to talk about topics that have to do with, you know, buying a home and selling a home and things that come up in home inspection, and mold is a very big issue that comes up. We just happen to have the best mold expert sitting across from us. But if you have any questions, please, this is your opportunity to talk to Andy, 781-837-4900. Ryan is just dying to take your phone calls in there, but we will be right back.
The next time you see a football field on TV, a wide shot where you can see the whole field and everyone looks tiny, remember that the clean team professionally cleans as much carpet and upholstery in 1 year to cover that field 20 times over. That's a lot of cleaning. And the clean team does all of their cleaning around the South Shore and the Cape. The clean team has been in business for over 30 years, and aside from having a great reputation, they've earned plenty of certifications in the cleaning and restoration of fabrics.
I'm Jennifer, co-owner of the clean team. My husband Matt and I have spent many years tackling every type of residential and commercial cleaning job you could possibly think of. It's not just carpets and upholstery. We clean oriental rugs, leather, tile, stone, as well as grout cleaning and sealing. We want to help you make your home clean and inviting.
So the next time you watch two football teams make a big mess, think of the clean team, covering the South Shore for over 30 years. Online at thecleanteam.net.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4100 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Bass Branch License 338980.
thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good evening to all my South Shore neighbors. I hope you're having a safe drive home. And if you're already there, thank you for tuning in. And maybe some of you are just sitting in your driveway because we're so interesting tonight, just right? Listening to the end of the show here. We have
Red
about,
Sox.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes left. 781-837-4900. If you have any call, any questions for Andy Provotola here, we are talking about mold and remediation and, you know, just different things to do with mold. It's a big thing that happens in real estate when we're buying, helping people buy homes and sell homes. Just real quick too, if you've ever missed any of our shows and you're really interested in listening to others, we do have a podcast. So if you have the podcast app, you can find us at Talk Real Estate Radio, or you can go to talkrealestateradio.com and you'll find all of our past shows, and we have all of our experts on all of our shows. So you can go back and see who we've had on in past shows. You can find us on Facebook, .com/Boston Connect, and BostonConnect.com, of course, Instagram, Pinterest, you know, all that stuff for social media. So, Andy, we were talking about certifications and everything. What is, Cindy had asked a great question, what should people be looking for when they are looking for?
Again, good question. The first of all, you know, how long have they been doing specifically mold remediation?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and what is their procedure? How do they do that? So when we set up a scope of work, in other words, there will be certain things like there should be HEPA vacuuming going on. There should be negative air with air scrubbers with contained areas. A lot of companies don't even contain the room, which you can result what they call as cross-contamination.
Because what's the HEPA vacuuming?
That would be to start, they would either HEPA vac the wall cavities or the ceilings or the floors. So that's actually sucking up a lot of the mold spores.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's with a certain specific HEPA vacuum designed for mold or lead.
Specifically for that, okay.
Type of thing. Not your regular vacuum type of thing.
Okay.
And then, so the containments are very important because you got people going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're in an attic and it's right there in the hallway, and I always specify that this has to be contained, tent-like, you know, 6 mil plastic sheeting, either going out down towards the front entry area or whatever access that they may have.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they have to create another chamber so they can either have to change through there, and the workers should be, you know, protected with personal protective equipment, with the mask, the gloves. Sometimes they wear the suit, sometimes they don't, depending on how excessive the mold issue is. So in other words, the EPA in the industry standard, anything over 100 square feet of visual mold would be considered excessive.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a job 2 weeks ago, it was probably 1,000 square feet of visual mold, a lot of mold. Then you get into what they call as the moderate or the middle, kind of a mediocre, where you go from anywhere from 15 square feet to 99.
Mm-hmm.
And a small area, 10 square feet or less, doesn't necessarily mean it needs a remedial company to do it. Like sometimes in real estate, you go in the basement, it's a small area, like a small area of a drywall, of one side of a closet that's 2x3.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean you need to get a company in there, like a remedial, you know, somebody can do that and cut it. Because the key to remediation is to get rid of the mold. If you can't physically get rid of the mold or remove it, then the next step is to clean it up and treat it. Sometimes they do a sanding process, or sometimes they do what they call a dry ice blasting, which can be very expensive. And another time they use antimicrobials, which are cleaning disinfectants designed for mold, bacteria, odors, etc.
But it isn't as easy as just taking water and bleach and just sort of spraying.
If someone's going to spend $2,000-$4,000, they're telling them they're going to spray it with bleach. Don't waste your money.
Well, that's my question. So I've shown properties in the past that, maybe it gets to inspection and they say, "Oh, there was mold, but now it looks like there's this white coating." And I'm talking basically in the attic for this instance.
That's not uncommon.
Is that a type of containment or something?
Right. What that is, and I usually, especially if it's an attic, if it was more excessive, because if I'm doing looking at an attic, number one, I look at the integrity of the wood. Because the roof deck, if it's rotted out, sometimes sheets of plywood have to be replaced. There's no sense to clean it because it's just going to come through anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to stop the source of any leaks.
It's a little bugger, isn't it? It just keeps on growing and growing and growing.
Well, that's my thing. If you get it remediated, how do you, which would be my next question, and I'll probably forget, but how do you make sure that, because I will, how do you make sure that it's, do you have to have someone like you come back in 6 months?
Or
what do you
that
do?
That was going to be my question too, Andy.
Let me finish with the... antifungal coatings, which are designed to fight mold. Now, the trick here is you can't have somebody go up there and just spray paint over the mold.
By the way, can I just say that I'm like my sinuses suddenly...
I just wondered what that was.
I can't breathe anymore. I literally cannot breathe anymore.
Could you just do a little thermo thing in this room? Could you just check a couple of things out for us,
Andy, when we're done? The allergens are high this winter because it was kind of a warmer winter. So the spring is going to be twice as bad.
Oh, excellent.
For allergies.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, the conversation is making me bad. Can you imagine what the environment is going to do to me?
Right?
So go ahead.
Really what they have to do first is physically, they HEPA vacuum, then they physically, aggressively try to clean what they can to break down the membranes of the mold that's embedded in some of the plywood. Once that's all treated and clean, there's two options here. Sometimes people do what they call as a post-verification remediation. So it's, in other words, the outside guy coming in like myself that's checking it to make sure it's clean. Then they would put the anti-fungicide coating on, which is designed to, number one, it will trap, once it's cleaned, it seals up everything on the roof deck and the beams, and then it also protects it from the moisture coming back. Now, there is a good product that they call Aftershock. Fiberlock has these products, and I actually did one, and this product was used 10 years ago in an attic in Duxbury. I did last year or the year before, and we just needed a post verification. Did sampling, and that stuff was still good. Mm-hmm. After 10 years, it was still fine, but again, sometimes when they get into the price wars, the remedial companies they're lowballing each other right now, and it's not. To me, the standard of care is do it right or don't do it at all because you're just wasting your money.
Yeah, agreed.
Because there's no way someone comes in at $1,200 and all of a sudden someone's coming in at $12,000.
Yeah,
they're both off. And normally an average addict could run $2,500 to $5,000, $6,000. Mm-hmm. But the critical part there is when you have an independent assessment. If we go and it was extensive and say there's a lot of open insulation here, spores are probably in a lot of this fiberglass. Even though it's a non-porous material, the fiberglass, the spores are in there. Mm-hmm. The right environment will create spores to grow again. Mm-hmm. Pull the insulation, and they do what they call air sealing, like the energy audit companies do that air sealing. So you have like your attic access is open. You have recessed lighting. You have, exhaust fans. Mm-hmm. You can see daylight. And if you can see daylight, that needs to be air sealed. Once that's sealed, once the attic is remediated, now you come back and put in the insulation. A lot of people getting attic insulation because, number one, they don't have the right R value of insulation in the attic.
Yeah.
I go into attics from 2 to 6 inches. That's not code. Code is R38, which is about 12, at least 12 inches of insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then people say, well, the guy comes in and says, we're not going to pull the insulation. We're just going to do the remedial. And it's a $2,000 or $3,000 difference.
Yeah.
If it says in the scope of work to pull the insulation, then you pull the insulation.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't say to pull it, then you don't have to.
So that isn't something that a homeowner can just do themselves, because that's one of the questions I have, is there like a special way of removal? I mean, can you just throw it in your trash and then the guy
you
comes
can.
And picks
it's
it up?
You can. It's not like lead or asbestos. Unusually, you can throw mold in the trash because it's not regulated. As far as if somebody is selling their home, I always recommend hire the professionals to go in there and do the work, because then you're not liable.
Yeah.
Because it protects you as the person selling the house. I go in sometimes and you can tell they sprayed bleach. Mm-hmm. Bleach is not a cure-all. Some people say bleach doesn't kill mold. I believe bleach does on specific things like metals, tile. If you ever want to get mold out of your grout, use Tilex mold and mildew for $5. It's a great tool there. However, it's not the cure-all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't like to work with bleach because you can destroy your lungs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's very strong on your lungs, and attics are very tedious to work in.
Yeah.
If you can't stand up, sometimes they're on their back and they're scrubbing and scraping, and there are difficult areas. Sometimes you got to do the best you can, because you can't always get to a certain area.
And do a lot of the companies have warranties? I've seen that before, where they'll have like a 10-year warranty that's transferable to another owner.
I would say I'm more comfortable 1 to 5. Anything over 5, I would just shy away, because they can't control mold from coming back. And people who are given 10 or 20-year warranties probably aren't in business in 10 years.
In 10 years. Mm. Well, you just heard the doorbell. That just gives me one quick opportunity to let you know that you can go to bostonconnect.com and find all the open houses that we're having this weekend. If you can't get in this weekend, you can feel free to call myself or Cindy, and love to bring you into a house so you can have a private showing. I know I'm going to be doing open houses this Sunday, so I have a couple going on.
Saturday and Sunday.
Cindy will be out there Saturday and Sunday, so come find us on bostonconnect.com and hunt us down so you can come and say hello to us at our open houses. The other thing I was going to ask you about the mold was, and I forget now because I just interrupted my own self, so it was something to do with the remediation part of the whole process and the warranty, but I can't remember. So
you asked if it was transferable to the new owner.
Yeah.
Is that not the question?
It wasn't the question, but I do have another one here.
I do recommend, though, if somebody's selling the house, that you want a transferable warranty.
Okay. Yeah, agreed.
You know, and if it's a couple years, 2 or 3 years, that's fine, because usually if something comes back, it's within the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that.
Yeah, I remember my question. So I think one thing that is important is we have you come in. We see that there's mold. You're testing the mold. Are you also letting them know what the problem was that caused it? Because I think one thing is getting rid of it,
right. But
then what about fixing the problem that caused it?
That's the critical, that's the key element of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a guy comes in and remediates and someone spends, say, $5,000, they don't correct the source, guess what? It's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So
and quickly.
If someone has a high water table in their basement, if you don't get the proper drainage in the sump pumps to keep the water out and you remediate, guess what? The next heavy rain, they may have another flood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's critical as far as mold is to correct the source of the water issue or the moisture issue. And then a lot of times ventilation could be an issue in an attic.
You know,
no soffits or the insulation cover the soffit vents.
I've seen people do that. I think that they don't understand that when they see light coming in, that they think now it's letting cold air into the house and they cover the soffits. Or those, you know, the areas.
Yeah.
I know I had you out to a property years ago where in front of the Cape with the dormer, and somebody stuffed insulation in there, and there were like the soffit vents underneath, and they filled all of those.
You want the cool air to what happens in the wintertime is that you get a lot of frost in your roof base. If you don't have enough insulation, you get heat loss. It keeps the wood moist.
Mm-hmm.
If the insulation or there's no soffit vents, sometimes you can't put the soffit, so you have to do end gables with the ridge. But the soffits work great with the ridge vertically.
Mm-hmm.
But that keeps the roof base cool, so it dries out any kind of frost eaves in the bay.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's critical, because that saves people a lot of headaches.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that people have many, many more questions.
Right.
I hope that you will come back on and join us again so we can ask more questions. But in the meantime, how can people get in touch with you? It went by fast. How can people get in touch with you?
You can reach us at Air Environment. AirEnvironments.com or at 781-248-9975.
Can you give that number one more time?
781-248-9975.
Perfect. And you did hear myself and Cindy. We're here tonight and we have to keep on going, so you can get in touch with us at 781-826-7300. Again, 826-7300. You can ask for Sharon or Cindy.
All right. Have a great night,
everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
Safe drives. Bye-bye. Thank you, Andy.